Have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible tells in Hebrews, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Minister to us, Lord. Touch us with your grace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Isaiah said it, "Blessed are they who wait upon the Lord, for they shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk, not be weary. They shall run and they shall not faint." You know, we got people in the church that's just fainting mentally and spiritually. It means they're just giving up. They're just letting go. They're not following the peace that pass all understanding. Amen. And they're letting things bother them. And I think it's time we realize that what the Bible is saying is, if we get in God, there's no reason to quit. No reason to give up. I mean, I understand things get tough. I know there's going to be struggles. I'm not one of them TV preachers that tell you live right, you'll never have a problem. Because I know good and well I've lived right and still had problems. And there have been times I looked around myself. There'd be people, "Well, what have you done wrong?" I've looked around to see if I'd done something wrong. I don't know about y'all, but you ain't been in trouble till your septic tank backs up and you can't work. We live in the country, septic tank backed up in the bathtub. I got my knee in a cast. I can't do any work. Can't put my foot on the ground. Can't preach. Can't do anything to get money. And I realize I got to fix that or move. I don't know about y'all, but it just don't get no worse than that. Hello? I'll never forget 2010. I came back from Tuscaloosa, just left the cancer center, and they told me the tumor they took out of me was cancerous. I pull up out there under that tree we finally cut down. It was dead. I got tickled. People did. They didn't want that tree cut down. One of the main people didn't want it cut down. Come to me one day and said, "I'm missing something. What is it?" And I said, "Well, you remember that tree you liked so much? It's been gone for 3 months." I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but it was dead when I got here. There was just a few green leaves on it every once in a while. Hey, man, I got a couple of these. That tree's gone. But I pulled up under the tree just in time to watch the creek go through the front door of the church. There's a bunch of guys standing out there. I know Tim was out there, and some of them was out there. They had the road blocked, and there's a police officer standing there, and he walked over and said, "How's it going, preacher?" I said, "I'm having a wonderful day." Later on, he knew the church was flooding. Later on, he found out I'd just come back from Tuscaloosa and I had cancer. He called and said, "Man, why didn't you tell me?" I said, "Why? I mean, there ain't no need in crying, complaining. Nobody wanted to hear a complaint." I said, "It really doesn't matter. Everything's going to be okay. That's all that really matters. I know in whom I believe, and I know it's going to be all right." And that's what we've got to understand. If we understand who we believe in and we understand who we're trusting in, then there's no reason to give up. There's no reason to let go. We're here to run a race, and it's time we run that race till we hear said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys that I have prepared for you." 1968, Mexico City Olympics. Marathon runner. 26 miles. First guy come through in 3 hours and some few minutes and won it. 3 hours later, they're closing up the stadium. Some dude turns the corner coming into the stadium. Knee taped up, ankle taped up, arm taped up, head taped up. Because in the fourth mile, he tripped off the side of a mountain and broke his ankle, fractured his elbow, and put a crack in his skull. His name was John Akawe. He was from Tanzania. They taped him up. He got back on the road, and in that condition, he run the other 19 miles. He didn't run it fast. But he come in, he was, and a couple of times he fell and got back up. People tried to help him, he don't. He kept going, finally across the finish line. One guy from ABC, y'all remember Wide World of Sports? Kids ain't never heard of that. That used to be the only sports thing, and it was on Saturday afternoon, not 24 hours a day, where they had to talk about everything they could think of and make up stuff. Glory. I mean, they just so much news. I don't know why we got 24-hour news channel to tell you the same thing 500 times. I got it the first time. Glory. Then they do investigative reporting. Dumb stuff like telling me that the three Hebrew boys survived in the furnace because there was a hole in the corner and they could get air through it. That's intelligent, buddy. I'm telling you, they went somewhere to learn that. I'm smart enough to know that if that thing had had a hole in it, if they touched it, they would have burnt whatever they touched it with to breathe. Not only that, the fire was seven times hotter than that thing's supposed to be in. It was already so hot, it would have melted them. And the fire consumed all oxygen. Did they have oxygen tanks on? But the Crooked News Network seems to think that's true because they put an hour-long dialogue on it. Come on, church, smile at me. So what's that got to do with anything? Wide World of Sports, one guy got his camera and he filmed that guy coming in. It made it to the national news, made it international news. Because when they finally got him, they said, dude, why did you keep running? He said, it's simple. The people of Tanzania did not send me 7,000 miles to stop in the middle of a race just because I fell off a hill. They sent me here and came without for training me to send me here to finish the race. And I could have never gone home if I hadn't crossed the finish line. Church, some of you have fell off the mountain. Some of you skinked yourself up. Some of you in trouble. But you need to realize the finish line isn't here yet. We're not in a sprint. We're in a marathon. And we got to get up and keep running. We got to keep moving. We got to keep holding on and believing my God is able to do that he said he could do. Glory. In case you want to know, never won a gold medal, but John Akare was a hero in Tanzania because he finished. Glory. He trained two men that eventually won gold medals in the Olympics. Think it might have been that spirit of I'm not giving up. I enjoy listening to the testimonies of those that have been before me. I don't know about y'all. I miss it sometimes when we used to have testimonies. Somebody get up and say, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven. I didn't like it when they ain't got them desires I used to have because I still had them. Some of y'all do too, you just don't admit it. Paul said, I have to have a fight with Saul of Tarsus every morning I get up. Amen. And there are times when things happen around me and Ken Stroop that existed before 1974 just gets real alive and he's mean. And I had to fight with him, and he's a good fighter. So I won't be like Alex was one time when he was a kid. He had said something he learned at daycare and got a whipping for it. He was doing something one day. He was pulling a belt or something, got it hung on the floor furnace. Do y'all know what a floor furnace is? That's what you heat a house with when you ain't got a lot of money to buy air conditioning. When he had a floor furnace, he's pulling the belt hung, and he snatched it. Come on, hit him in the face. He looked at his mama and said, I'm not going to say it. And he said that word again. He said, I'm not going to say that word, mama. At least he knew he wasn't supposed to say it. Of course, y'all's kids never done nothing like that. They were just little wonderful angels. Man, you probably never done that. I've seen some of you. I mean, y'all point your finger. Somebody does it. You shouldn't do that. Well, you probably did it in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Come on, church. But I like to hear those people talk about what they went through, how they got there. Because listening to people that have gone through something and come out the other side with victory gives you faith to believe you can do it. That's why we've got the Old Testament stories. That's why we've got the listings of what people went through and what happened to them. It's because we want to understand that. Amen. I remember the guy came to Jesus and said, I'm going to follow you anywhere you want to go. And Jesus spun around and says, well, before you do that, realize that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but I, the Son of Man, don't even have anywhere to lay my head. You know what he's saying? He says, you may come with me, dude, but I ain't got nothing. If you in this thing for the money, you're messed up. If you're in this thing for the popularity, you probably ain't going to like it because we're not real popular a lot of places we go. Amen. I don't know if y'all realize that, but Jesus was doing great. He goes over to the Lake of Gennesaret, and he's a guy over there that's demon possessed. He cast the demons out of him, and the whole place wanted him to leave. Great miracle. Should have broke a revival, but instead they were like, man, you need to leave our country. Amen. You know why? He messed up their religion. Some of y'all get upset because I mess up your religion, because you all stuck on what you believe instead of what's in the Bible. Amen. And you don't like me telling you what's in the Bible because you want what you believe to be the truth. But the truth of the matter is, your religion ain't what you're going to get to heaven by. See, some of y'all sitting there said, you're straining, preacher. There ain't nothing in that talks about the religion. Yes, it is. Because when he cast the demons out of the guys, he put them in the hogs. The hogs dove in the lake, drowned himself. Say, so? They don't eat pig meat. So why they got a hog farm? It's religious. They don't eat pig meat, but their God loves it. And that was a whole year's worth of sacrifices, just jumped in the lake, and their whole religion's messed up. It's going to be a year before they can pray. Hello? Don't look at me like some of y'all are. Read your Bible. It's in there. Are you sure? Hey, when the prodigal son ran away from home, where was he working? He was working in a hog farm. Why was he at a hog farm? Because they were raising him to offer him his sacrifices, because nobody over there eats pig meat. It's religion. I'd hate to serve a God, eat hog, wouldn't let me have none. Oh. Hello? Lord. I'm glad Peter got on a housetop and God showed him hog, said it's okay. I've cleaned it up. Oh. I had sausage and bacon yesterday and was happy. Amen. By the way, we had a great crowd to men's breakfast yesterday. If you didn't come, you need to show up next time. We run out of eggs. So we already decided we're going to cook some more next month. Amen. So y'all show up, we'll have them. Lord. Amen. But listen, it's a source of great inspiration. The man says, he said, well, look, I ain't got nothing for you to go, so you need to follow me. Because understand this, and all y'all need to mark this scripture in your Bible. A man that put his hand to the plow and turned away is not fit for the kingdom of God. So don't tell me anymore you can't backslide. Because this guy going to start plowing. He said, if you start plowing and back up, you messed yourself up, son. Amen. Oh, that's good preaching. You could have went all day long without saying it. I know all them other preachers do, and that's why you like them. But I'm telling you the truth because it's in this book, and I want to get to eternity, and I got to preach the truth. Glory. Somebody told me one time, you preach like that, you ain't never going to do nothing. That was 1979, I believe, that guy took me off the side and gave me that advice. I never quit preaching that way, and for 35 years, I was an evangelist by invitation. So somebody liked what I had to say. Glory. And I'm so dumb, I still think God will find somebody wants to hear what I got to say. Amen. Of course, Jesus wasn't popular among the religious folks. Hallelujah. I got to go down to the front row and amen myself. Take me that much longer. But people begin the Christian walk and later quit. They're going back because it got tough. Listen, we're not running wind sprints. I don't know about y'all, but I used to play sports and I used to hate it because every coach thought running wind sprints was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Whether you was on the field running 50-yard sprints or you was in the gym running from one end of the gym to the other, or if it's a track and he thought his wind sprints was 100 yards. Or baseball, when you had to run from the outfield fence back to home plate, and then back from home plate back to that, and you just kept doing that because it's supposed to do something for you. All it ever done for me was give me cramps and make me breathe hard. And I did it all the time, so I should have been okay. But the truth of the matter is, we got too many people running sprints. They run from Sunday morning to the next Sunday morning. They get a little shot and they wait and they run to the next Sunday morning. But they don't understand. You're in a marathon. You're not supposed to be slowing down. You're not just looking for a Sunday morning quick fix or a Wednesday night shakeup. You're trying to make a run where you got to get steady and pace yourself and keep moving in the power of Almighty God and let God begin to take control of your life and lead you where you need to go. Could you say amen? Amen. Finishing the race is the important thing that you need to do. We're inspired by those that were there before us. Notice what he said. He said, we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Oh, isn't that awesome? It starts out with wherefore. You know what that means? Somewhere before what I just said, something's in there you need to read. Glory. Hello? You know what? It just so happened to be the chapter before. Now, I got on here the whole chapter, but I don't expect them to flip it all up back there because I'm going to go through it pretty quick. It starts out, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Come on, church. Y'all know what that's at. Surely every one of y'all have had to write faith checks. Huh? Y'all look at me like y'all don't know what a faith check is. That's when you write a check knowing there ain't no money in the bank, but you hope you're going to get there before that check does. Glory. Somebody said, well, you shouldn't do that, preacher. I've done it several times in my lifetime, and the money's always got there before the check did. Amen. The only time I ever bounced a check was when I was dumb enough to miss something I was supposed to wrote down in the book. It wasn't because I wrote a check that I knew I had to get money in for. I'll never forget one time I missed a withdrawal. Somehow, it took 5 months before it caught, and then all of a sudden I had checks going everywhere. Then I learned about this thing called overdraft protection. I ain't never had another check go through that wasn't covered. Amen. Come on, church. Of course, you're talking to a man that in 50-something years of paying bills has never missed a payment but twice. And both of those times I paid the bill, just forgot to take it by. I'd get ready to pay the bill the next month and pull the thing out, and the check would be in it from the month before. And I'm going, oh, man, it's past the grace period now. I got to pay a late payment. Glory. But I was always taught not to miss payments. I never forget, I bought my first car. And even though it was financed in my daddy's name, I paid the payments to him. He paid the bank. I missed two. He took my keys. I had to pay them two and two more before I got them back. I don't know if y'all understand that or not. When you're 16 years old, you don't like riding a bicycle and walking. Everybody's cool. Why are you riding that bicycle to school? I said, well, that beast walking up that stupid hill. Where's your car? I said, it's impounded. The police? No, my daddy, that's worse. I can't get it out by begging. My daddy was hard on me, but I learned a lot of stuff. One of them was, you don't miss payments. Glory. You're worse than any bank I ever done business with. Glory. Notice what it said. For by faith the elders obtained a good report. Through faith they understand that the worlds were formed. Church, listen, they weren't sitting around trying to figure it out. They didn't have to know what Darwin thought. In case any of y'all want to know what Darwin thought, he's an idiot. He was not even a zoologist. In other words, he didn't make his living studying animals. He just happened to get picked by a friend to go with him in the South and write a report about the animals they found while they were gone. And while he's gone, he studies street-toed sloths, turtles, and armadillos in the South Pacific Islands. And out of that, he wrote The Origin of the Species, which we call evolution. That means we all came from monkeys. Ain't that the dumbest thing you ever heard? If we came from monkeys, why ain't monkeys still turned into people? Was there a reason for it to quit? And if we're supposed to be going for the perfect being, are we that? I got a met this friend said if we was monkeys and we come from, we'd still have the tail. We wouldn't have got rid of that. That's a useful part. Oh. I mean, you wouldn't have to have a chair. You just... Kid, do something in the back seat. Quit. Y'all ain't believing this. There's a couple people in the church still ain't smiled. They're getting religious on me now. He crazy. Glory. Listen, the Bible said by faith, Abel gave a better sacrifice than his brother. His brother brought meat. Abel gave food from the ground, but it was his faith that made it acceptable unto God, because he did it out of the boast he had. His brother gave out of a whole bunch, and because of that, when Cain killed Abel because he found favor with God, the Bible said Abel was still speaking after he died. Why? Because his blood cried out to God for justice against his brother. Amen. Because he had faith. Amen. Notice it said by faith Enoch was translated. I don't know about y'all, but I'd like to get so close to God he just look at me one day and say, hey, come spend a week with me. I mean, that's what he did to Enoch. He's still there. It's not been quite 7,000 years. Glory. Might be. But he'd just been there for a week. Somebody said, wait a minute, preacher, that's 7,000 years. Well, 1,000 years is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. They ain't realized it up there. They just having big time. Glory. Just Enoch was no more. He just walked with God. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Glory. I don't know about y'all, but I can't wait till the trumpet sounds, and I'm going to be standing up here preaching, and mic's going to hit the floor. Some of y'all are going to go, where'd the preacher go? I love y'all too. That used to be a big joke. I was preaching revival in Fairview, Alabama. Randy Tinker now pastors a church in Trenton, Georgia. Young preacher, and I walked by him. He said, man, how's it going? I said, going pretty good. I said, but you need to get your sermon together. If the Lord comes, you may have to preach tomorrow night. I left. He went to the pastor. He said, pastor, preacher said I might ought to have a sermon for tomorrow night in case the Lord comes. Pastor said, well, you might ought to get one together. He ain't even thought about what was said. He works on a sermon. Just show you how God works. I broke down and trustful that night, couldn't get to church, and he had to preach. To this day, I'll call him every once in a while. I say, hey, you got a good sermon. He said, I give you the one I preached that night. You just show up. Lord. But church, that's the reality of God. But now Enoch was no more because of his faith. By faith, Noah built a boat in the middle of a desert. Took him 120 years. I guarantee you during that time he got discouraged. I guarantee you the naysayers had him wondering. I guarantee you there were times he was thinking, how stupid am I out here building this boat and nothing around here? But the Bible doesn't just stop with saying he built a boat. He said to the saving of his house. Because he had faith, he was able to save his house. Church, because of our faith, we can reach some people. We may not reach any other way if we'll just be faithful to God and do that that God asked us to do. Amen. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out, left that place where he was at and went to a wonderful place called the desert. And when he was old and he couldn't have children, God said, I'm going to give you a kid. He decided to help God out and created a problem that is still a problem to this day. And finally, God gave him that son. And Sarah believed, even in her old age, that she was going to have a child, and she did. Amen. And then all of a sudden, Abraham, by faith, was told that you got to give that kid up. And he carried him to the mountain, and he took him there with the full purpose of killing him and putting him on a sacrifice, giving him back to God. But he had enough faith that he said, men, stay here. The boy and I will return. Hello? Y'all need to read that. It's in your Bible before you ever went up the mountain. But he had full intentions of killing that kid, but he believed God was going to raise him up because he was a son of promise. Church, we've got to have that kind of faith that whatever God tells us to let go of, if we let go of it, it's coming back because God has the power to do it. And we don't have to quit. We don't have to give up. We don't have to turn around. We just got to keep marching, and God's going to take care of us. Isaac, that son, had faith to believe in God. Because he did, God gave him his sons, Esau and Jacob, and he was able to have them there and live with them and bless them. And finally, Jacob had a bunch of boys. He was not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but he still served God. Glory. Come on, church. Some of y'all look at me and say, preacher, you shouldn't do that. If I worked for 7 years to marry a woman, I'd be sure I married the right one. He didn't. Had to work another 7 years to get the one he wanted. In time he got the one he wanted, he already had several boys by the first one. But he lived long enough that he blessed his son Joseph's kids. Amen. In Egypt. And Joseph was so moved of God and had so much faith in God that he prophesied of something before he died. He said, when I die, take your bones with me when you leave. Amen. They were in prison by Egypt. They were slaves. And yet Joseph said, you're going back. When you go back, take my bones with you. Don't leave them here. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? He had a vision of God and he understood what God was doing. At church, I don't think God's a respected person. So he can show me things that are going to happen. He can help me to make it through things in this world. He can provide for me when nothing else can provide for me. He can do something to take care of me because he's a God who is a provider. Could you say amen? Moses believed God and was willing to give up everything he had in Egypt to suffer with the children of Israel because he believed God was able to do great things for him. And because of that, he led the children of Israel through the wilderness, through the Red Sea, and back into the place where they got ready to go to the promised land. Amen. And notice what it said. They all were able to follow God, suffer great afflictions, but they made it. But notice this. Not a one of them obtained the promise. What promise are you talking about? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were looking for that day. And I'm telling you right now, I'm still looking for that day, and I'm looking for that promise. And because of that, I'm holding on to what I read about them and realize if God took care of them, that same God's going to take care of me, and I'm going to make it. Could you say, oh, come on, church. I got 9 minutes. I'm probably preaching next week on this. Glory. Number one, he said, wherefore seeing? We got to learn to see things the way God sees things. He said, wherefore seeing? We're compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses. You imagine what would happen? We could talk to some of the saints of old. We could just give them our complaints. I tell you, it's been so hot in the house with that air conditioner not working. They're going, air conditioning? Oh, what's air conditioning? All we had was windows and a mountain. Hello? See, I'm old enough to remember when everybody didn't have air conditioning. I'm old enough to remember when most of the people around me didn't have air conditioning. We had window fans, attic fans. Cars didn't come with air conditioning. If they did, it was a lot more than what the car was worth. My first car, 65 Mustang, didn't have air conditioning. Had 260, two windows down, 60 mile an hour. It was pretty cool. But we complain about the very things people in the past used to dream about. We get upset because your cell phone ain't working. I can remember when nobody had cell phones. I remember if a car broke down, you had to walk to the service station to get a phone to use if you had a dime or a quarter later. Hello? Yeah, we're in it. My cell phone don't work. I ain't got no signal. We used to not have signal because we didn't have a phone. And we're complaining about things people used to dream about. And we're in a world where we're going along trying to figure out how we're going to make it. They made it without it. Why can't we make it when we got it? If you'd have told me when I was a kid I was going to make the kind of money I'm making right now, and I'm not getting rich, but I'm making more money than I ever dreamed of when I was a kid. I remember when I came to the Church of God, the pastor's salary was $175 a week. Right at $200 sometimes in big church. Of course, that's what most everybody was making. See, y'all said, what? We're not talking about the Stone Age. Now, I bought my first car, 1973 Dodge Charger. Paid $3,400 for it. Financed it for 3 years, $120 a month. I wish I could buy cars like that now. Well, I probably could, but they wouldn't run like that. Glory. I mean, that was top of the line, SE edition. It had air. I was about to go crazy. I could ride down the road, turn air on. And it worked. I had another car that had air, but it didn't work. Y'all ain't never been that poor, have you? You buy a car and half of it don't work, it just runs. Glory. Now, why would they send out a phone from the state office to tell me something right in the middle of a church service? I have no clue, but they just did. I know the number, so they notify me of somebody's funeral. I'm going to ask them why they do that on a Sunday morning during church. Glory. We've got to learn to see things the way God sees them. So what are you talking about? Well, first of all, we've got to get our eyes open so we can see the gospel the way he wrote it. Hello? Listen, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. Do you realize the enemy is trying to take control of how you see the situation you're in? Because as long as he's got you blinded to God's ability to bring you out, you're never going to believe there's a way out. As long as he's got an ability to keep you from seeing the God who has the answer to every problem you got, you're going to get depressed. You're going to get all kind of messed up. You're going to have anxieties out the roof. But if you can ever see God for who he is through the gospel, you understand my God is greater than anything that could ever come against me. My God is able to do anything I need. My God's able to provide what I need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But you got to be able to see the gospel. The enemy don't want you to see the gospel for what it is. He wants you to keep believing these guys that's twisting it. Because as long as you don't see it for what it is, you don't get the reality of who he is. Amen. Notice this. He also wants you to see others through the eyes of Christ. When Christ looked at people, he didn't see them for who they were. He saw them for what they could be. I don't know about y'all, but I thank God that he don't see us for who we are. In 1974, folks in Buell saw an idiot who stayed messed up half the time, didn't know he was in the world a good bit of the time, and they didn't want a whole lot to do with him. They didn't want him around the house because he kept taking stuff with him when he left. God saw potential of a young man who could become somebody if he got a hold of him. God didn't look at the outward works of a human being or what they were or where they'd been or where they came from. All he saw was the finished product of what he could do when he got him on that wheel down at the potter's house and began to spin him around and mold him and make him. And he began to put in the water on him of the word and the water of the anointing. And the next thing you know, he found a young man who could carry the gospel all over this world and preach that gospel because God saw him for what he could be instead of what he was. Then, we got to understand that the way we look at others a lot of times is how we really look at ourselves. You ever notice we judge people on how we would react if something happened? Because that's all we know is how we do things. You know, if we lose it, well, they're going to lose it. Everybody don't lose it because you lose it. Hello? Everybody don't get drunk just because something went wrong. But we got people believe, oh, everybody gonna go get drunk because somebody they saw went and got drunk. Some of us have a different thing. We pray. We seek the face of God. We react different because we see ourselves not as ourselves any longer, but as Christ. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? You're not Christ. Oh, but that's what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. I don't know about y'all, but in 1974, I got rid of a guy named Ken Stroop. He wasn't really that good. I understand that now. Back then, I thought I was the greatest thing since sliced bread till I realized I destroyed my whole life. But you know what? I got in an altar. God didn't charge me one thing for salvation except my life. He said, if you'll give me your life, I'll make something out of it. And now Paul said, I wasn't nothing. I was Saul of Tarsus. I killed Christians. I was a bad person. But he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Now I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life I live in him, by him, and for him. And I want to look in that mirror. I don't want to see Ken Stroop. I want to see the outpouring of God. Could you say amen? When I'm sick, I don't need to see a doctor. I need to see Jesus Christ. When I've come to church in need, I don't need to see a singer. I need to hear God coming out of their mouth with an anointing that can change my life. I want to see Jesus. I want to see his power, his anointing, his presence move in me. Christ didn't die so you'd go to church and act normal. I'm saved. I said, from what? Don't look like you've changed anything. You got saved. You had to get saved from something. Why you keep wanting to live the way you was living before you got saved? Why'd you bother? Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all was liking the other sermon. Now I switched. Well, I was giving you the sweet stuff before I nailed you. But I mean, really, church, do you think Jesus Christ died so you could keep doing what you're doing? That's what's being preached. That's that abundant grace junk. Notice I said that junk. It ain't Bible. Oh, yeah, I just live. God loved me. He wouldn't do nothing to me. My daddy loved me. He wore me out when I done something stupid. Bad thing is, the punishment for sin is death. I don't want to die. So when I got saved, I realized there were some things I used to do I couldn't do anymore. Come on, church. Listen, we've got to come to that place where we understand. If we get saved, there are some things we die from. It's not enough of who I used to be left in me to make me comfortable around people that were like I was. I enjoy getting around drug addicts and alcoholics. I just don't like to sit around them and try to act like they are. They're going to know I'm different pretty quick. But they're also going to know the reason I'm different is because there was a God got a hold of me and made the change in me and brought me where I am. I thank God that when I get around those guys, they don't know who I am. Because they don't see what I used to be. They see a new me, a different me. Oh, yeah, preacher, you can't prove that. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, we not only need to see others and ourselves, we need to see Jesus. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Glory. We go to the saints of old for victory, and we see the great things they do, but we struggle. Is it all right if I get real for a minute? I struggle just like you do. And I know a couple of y'all don't, but the rest of us do. Y'all really do. You just don't want to admit it because you'd have to go get some antibiotic for it. I actually had a lady tell me she hadn't sinned since she got saved. I thought she lied then. You see, I have a problem. There is the old me and the new me in me, and there's a warring going on in my members, and the Bible talks about that. And that flesh struggles with the spirit, trying to find answers. And I have to make sure there's more of the spiritual side than the flesh side so that my spirit wins out. And the problem we have is too many of you keep feeding the flesh side, trying to figure out why you keep losing. You can't do what you used to do and be spiritual. But if you'll learn how to pray and read a Bible and stay in the Spirit, God will help you walk in the Spirit. He'll help you talk in the Spirit. He'll help you leave those things you don't need in your life if you'll simply let God come loose in you. Could you say amen? Listen, here's Paul. Notice what he said in Romans chapter 7, verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of the mind. And it brings me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That's all I gave them. But the next one said, oh, wretched man that I am, who would deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank God that in my mind I serve the law of God, but in the flesh I serve the law of sin. If he stopped there, we wouldn't have any hope. But the 8th chapter starts this way. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free of the laws of sin and death. You know what that said? It said if I get my mind in the Spirit, I can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I hide the Word of God in my heart and I let the Spirit take control of my life, I can live a life where there is more of me, it's God, than there is of me that's not. And therefore the right decisions are made, and the life is fear of power, joy, and peace like you can't have any other way. And it's time some of us realize if we're going to make this right, we got to get a hold of God and let God get in our lives like never before. Hallelujah. Stand with me. I may get into the rest of it next week. I don't know. I may not even go back to this. But the reality is, church, that we can run the race and we can finish strong. We can walk in with joy and peace and power that makes us overcomers. But we can't make it unless we understand that we have to feed the Spirit more than we feed the flesh. But if we do that, we can live right. We can walk right. We can talk right. Well, preacher, nobody's perfect. One was. He walked in this world just like me and you. Had the same opportunity to mess up just like me and you. Said, well, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible said we have not a high priest who is not touched by the feelings of the infirmities like as we. Because he suffered everything we did. Except he did it without sin. And he did it to be our example. To let us understand that sin does not have to reign in our bodies. Matter of fact, the scripture goes to say, let not sin reign in your mortal body, which means it doesn't control you. You control it. When God gets real in your life and you make the decision that tears you down, you make the decision that pulls you away from the presence of God. And without that decision, you're in his presence. You're in his power. And through the anointing of God, you make the right decisions to live for him and to run the race for him. And to move in him. Hallelujah. Say, preacher, where are you going with this? There are people under the sound of my voice that God has moved in my heart. That you need to hear what I'm saying because you're struggling. There's a war going on in you just like it does the rest of us. You keep losing because you keep feeding the flesh. You keep letting anger, bitterness, hatred take over your heart. And because of that, you can't ever really get the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. You can never really get to that peace that passes all understanding. And because of that, you just thrown up your hand and said, well, nobody can. The truth of the matter is, you can if you try. If it wasn't possible, God would have never gave us the outline to do it. It is possible to live a Christian life. I do not believe in unconditional eternal security. But I believe in eternal security. I believe if you try, you can live right. I believe if you try, you can stay right. But you got to work at it. You got to exercise at it. Faith without works is dead. Without praying, without fasting, without reading a Bible, all your faith is of no use to you. But if you pray and you believe and you trust in God, then my God is able. Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your presence, for your power, for your glory, for your anointing. Move on us with your Spirit. Touch us with your sweet, sweet presence. God, I know you are able. Touch us, Lord, with your love. Move on us with your Spirit. Father God, it is in Jesus' name we pray. Lord, have your way.